All right, so first of all, I want to say thank you guys for a lovely Shabbos. It's always special to be in Hebron. Hebron's a very, very beautiful Shabbos. And, you know, my wife, this year we had just did a Shabbaton in Zichron last week, which was a big schlep and it was hard. So she was still recovering basically the whole week from that Shabbaton. And she was like, I don't know if we should go. I don't know. It's like hard to have another weekend, another Shabbos away from home. But in the end, we decided to come and Baruch Hashem because it's really special. First of all, obviously, it's great to be with you guys, but it's also very special to be in the yeshiva in Shavi Hebron. And one of the things, that there's a lot of things you could talk about in that yeshiva, but about that yeshiva. But I want to talk about one of those things, which I think is connected to, you know, the tkufa that we're in right now. And we know that in it's going to be Lag BaOmer in 2 days, right? Yeah, crazy, right? It's crazy how that happens. Today is 31 on Yom, by the way. Yeah, but what does it have to do with Lag BaOmer? What does it have to do with Lag BaOmer? Like, Lag Lamed. Oh, right. Okay. It's like, what day is Tisha B'Av, right? Okay, anyway. The point is, on Lag BaOmer, we are. On Lag BaOmer, guys. On Lag BaOmer, what's the mitzvah sayom on Lag BaOmer?
Bonfire.
Okay, right. So we're gonna. Okay, yeah. Okay, yes. But it's lighting a bonfire. Okay, we all know we're gonna be lighting bonfires. I don't know what they're gonna do in Meiron this year. It's gonna be nuts, but. Everywhere, people are lighting everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's going to be bonfires blazing up in the middle of the street or, you know, who knows what, all over the place. Okay, that's what everybody does on Lag BaOmer. It's a little bit of a, pellet. It's a little bit of a wonderment. What is going on? Why are we lighting bonfires? What's the idea of that? And it seems almost like it's like a weird kind of thing, but the truth is that it goes back. It's not like the fact that it's so widespread now is definitely a, you know, last 50 years kind of thing. But the idea of lighting a fire goes way back, goes very, very far back. And the question is, what does it have to do with Lag BaOmer? What does it do with Rav Shimon's Petiro or whatever? So the truth is that it began a long, long time ago by the Chachmei Tzfas. And they would just light a yortzeit candle, and it'd be Shemen Zayas, and like that was like it was like all sorts of kavanas with that. But it is definitely certainly evolved into the bonfire as we know it. So the question is, what is the connection with that? So several things that I want to point out about the fire, and then we can talk a little about what it represents. The most obvious connection to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Yortzeit is the fact, and it says in the Zohar, that when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, when he was passing away, the day and night he passed away, he gave over all the secrets of Torah, which we call the Zohar, he gave that over to his Talmidim that night. In other words, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't write down the Zohar. He gave it over his Torah Shabbat Peh. Everything was Torah Shabbat Peh. It wasn't even before the Mishnah was written, right? So everything was Torah Shabbat Peh at that point. And he gave over, again, what we now collectively call the Zohar, that was given over to his Talmidim on his deathbed. He was on his deathbed, and I mean, I don't know if it means that he only gave over secrets of the Torah at that time, or, you know, maybe like it was just more compiled or organized. I don't know exactly what that means, but the Zohar says it itself. The Zohar says that on his deathbed, he gave over that Torah to his Talmidim. And it says in the Zohar, I really should have brought it to read it to you, but it says in the Zohar that there was a great fire in the room at that time, surrounding his bed, surrounding the Talmidim, and it was a blazing fire. Nobody could come in, nobody could come out, and it was something beyond nature. And it's not the only time that we see this, that when Torah is being learned or given over, in Chazal, there's discussions of huge fires accompanying it. For example, it says by Acher, okay, Elisha ben Avuya, who in the end of his life, went off the derech, but how did he become even a rav in the beginning? So it says that his father, that is Avuya, his father, had a bris milah for his son. Apparently, he was a wealthy guy, and he had a lot of connections, and a lot of gedolim came to the bris, and it was in his house. And at that bris, okay, so you know there's downtime, like, you know, whatever, they're waiting for the moel or waiting for the kfater, who knows what it was. And two of the gedolim went to the side, and they started learning. They started learning Torah, like, you know, they found themselves a corner, and they started learning. And when they were learning, a gigantic fire, again, came and surrounded them. And Elisha ben Avuya's father, Avuya, he saw that, and he's like, what are you guys doing? You're going to burn my house down? You want to burn my house down? And they explained to him, no, it's just, it's the Ash of the Torah. It's the Ash of the, it's the fire of the Torah. That's what you're seeing. I don't know if that means that it wouldn't burn the house down, because there's other stories we'll see in a second. But the point was that Avuya became so, he was like very impressed with that. So he decided he's going to dedicate his son that was just born, Elisha ben Avuya, to Torah. And that's why he became who he was. He was originally, you know, a great, great Tana. Okay, the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir. Okay, then afterwards he went off. But it was, he became like that because of his father seeing that passion, that age of Torah, and made him dedicate his son to Torah. Okay? And this other story, one more, was that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of his Talmid, Yonasan ben Uziel, it says that Yonasan ben Uziel, whenever he was learning, every bird that would go over his head would burst into flame. If he was learning Torah and a bird would fly over his head, it would burst into flame. Right? So again, we see this idea over and over again. There's the idea of the Eish HaTorah, the fire of the Torah. So what is this Eish HaTorah? What is it? What is it talking about? What is Bechlal, the idea, and what does it relate to us? And I think it's pretty obvious, I think, but you know, Torah is compared to water in Parsha Hazinu. In Parsha Hazinu, the Torah is compared to water. Why is it compared to water? Because Torah is what gives us life, just like water, right? Torah comes into us and it makes us sprout, it makes us grow, like water does to the ground. It makes things grow, it gives us life. And that's obviously true. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, if you leave your Torah as water, if you leave it there, that's not enough. It says also in the pasuk that Eish Das Lama, the Torah is an Eish Das. It's a fire. And I don't know, I think that what it means is a passion. We have to have a passion. We have to have a burning feeling when we're learning Torah. We have to be on fire. We have to be on fire. I don't know if anybody here will be Zocha. Maybe you guys are already Zocha. I don't know. Maybe to have, you know, birds burst in the flame above your head when you're learning. But you need to be on fire. Forget about the birds. You need to be on fire. You need to have that passion of Torah. Well, how do we get this passion? We're at the very end of Zman, the very end of our years here. Some of us, I don't know how many of us are coming to Shana Gimel, but you know, for some of us, it's our last month, our last couple of weeks in the old city, learning Torah by the Kotel. Like how, you know, we had a 2-year stint, and it's or more, and it's coming to an end. Where do we get this passion from? And it's hard. It's hard to have passion. On the one hand, it's hard if you're at the end of the 2-year stint because you're a little burnt. On the other hand, how could you not have passion? This is the end. This is it, like the last chance. What is the passion based on? So the passion has to be based on what is Torah to us. What is Torah? Why are we learning Torah? What is it all about? What are we trying to accomplish? And the simplest words, the simplest explanation, we talked about it in the beginning of the year, we'll talk about it. We always need chizik in this, to remember this. Torah is our connection to Avinu Shebashamayim. Avinu Shebashamayim gave us the Torah. He gave us his, like, diary. He gave us his diary. And he told us, learn this, understand this, and understand me. That's how you'll understand me. The Torah is me. That's our connection. That's our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Without this, well, what do we know about Hashem? How can you love something that you don't even know what it is? But with this, with Torah, we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we are able to. That's our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our connection to Avinu Shebashamayim. Every letter, you see Chazal. You see how serious the Gemara took every single letter of the Torah. And we spend all day darshaning out a vav, an extra word. What is it coming to teach us? Because every word matters, because everything is coming to Dvar Hashem. It's the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter what it is. There's a famous story of Rav Eliashiv, that Rav Eliashiv's grandson came to him and he said, and Rav Eliashiv asked him what he's learning. He said, oh, we're learning Yesh Neichelim, it's so geschmack. Maybe next year, I don't know. We're learning Yesh Neichelim, it's so geschmack. And Rav Eliashiv said to him, to me, Yesh Neichelim or Rosh Hashanah, which is not yeshivish, Yesh Neichelim or Rosh Hashanah, it's all the same. It's all the same. It doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. It's all the same excitement. It's all the same thing, same passion. Whether you're learning Rosh Hashanah, talking about the moon phases, or you're learning one of the most lamedish prakim in Shas. Doesn't make a difference. Why? Because it's all Dvar Hashem. It's all Dvar Hashem. Rav Lichtenstein was once asked by like NCSY Kolevin. They asked him, what do you do when you get to something, a boring stuff? What do you do? Like, how do you get to when you're learning a boring sugya? What do you do? And Rav Lichtenstein said, "Just let's rephrase the question first, okay? What do I do when God is talking to me, and I am bored by what He's speaking? That's what you're asking. Rephrase the question. What do I do when Hashem wants to tell me something, but I'm bored by what His message?" Okay, I think we don't need to address the question anymore. It's God's word. It's God's word. What does it make a difference what the topic is? I'm trying to understand the Borei Olam. I'm trying to understand my father. I'm trying to understand him. If I'm trying to understand that, every single thing that he says is going to be important. Every single thing that he says is going to fill me with a passion to understand what he wants. That's the Eish of Torah. That's the fire. And I think that that's what we're representing when we do a bonfire in Lag BaOmer. So when we light that bonfire in Lag BaOmer, and you see this by Reb Shimon, we see by Reb Shimon, he was full of passion. He leaves the cave. Okay, he had to temper it down, but when he leaves the cave, what happens? He sees those people that are not learning Torah. And he's so passionate about it that they just burst into flame. He can't stand it. He can't stand seeing somebody that has everything in the world that he did not have. He was in a cave without clothing, without food. And yet he was still learning Torah. And he comes out of the cave and he sees a guy who has everything. He has no problem. Nobody's chasing him. Nobody's trying to kill him. He's just living his regular life. And he's not learning. And he's like, I can't understand this. And he got upset. Okay. And then Hashem said, okay, I didn't bring you out of the cave. So you destroy my world. Go back into the cave. But the point is that he had that passion. He was burning with that passion. Obviously, we're in the last 2 weeks, or whatever, not 2 weeks, whatever it is. Why do we have a month? 6 weeks? In the last 6 weeks of Yeshiva, we need to learn with a passion, be mechazik ourselves with this passion, because we need to connect ourselves to Avinu Shemayim. This brings us to the second idea that I want to talk about. We know that Sfiras HaOmer is a lot, we're all working on midos, right? It's all about midos. We're working on our midos every day. There's a different mida you're supposed to work on. It's also a chana l'kabbalas haTorah. So how, what is it? Is it midos or is it a chana l'kabbalas haTorah? What is it? So, one question. Also, another question. One of the reasons that's given for us celebrating Lag BaOmer b'chlal, okay, what are the reasons? Why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer? Who knows? What do we got? What?
Still dying.
They stopped dying, right? Rabbi Akiva's Tamidim stopped dying. Thank you. Why did they stop dying?
They were all dead.
Because they all died. There was none more to die. How is that a reason to celebrate? Oh, Baruch Hashem, no more funerals, because everyone's dead. How is that a reason to celebrate? It's not my kasha. I mean, I had this kasha for years, but I just saw today that it's actually the pre-chadash has that kasha. So what's the pshat? It's written in the Sfarim. The Sfarim give these reasons. We're talking about, I don't remember who said that reason, but it was definitely before the Pre-Chadash. So that's, we're talking, Pre-Chadash was 1500s, 1600s. Probably the Rishonim. So what's the pshat? What does that mean? We're celebrating the fact that none of the Talmidim survived? What is that? So another pshat that's given, I'll get back to that, but there's another pshat that's given, which is that it's not about the fact that the Talmidim that he had stopped dying, the 24,000, it's about the fact that afterwards he was able to pick himself up and then have those five new Talmidim, the five most famous Tanaim that we have. Every Mishnah basically is quoting these five Tanaim: Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Huda, and the fourth, I forgot, fifth, I forgot who it was. But Mamish, every Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's all. Every time you have Stam Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Those are the five that bring Torah back. There was no Torah in Eretz Yisrael. 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, that's it. 24,000 Talmidim. Like, how many students are there in Eretz Yisrael today in Yeshiva? Today, which is like the most that we've ever had. I don't think it's, I don't know, maybe it's 24,000, but it's just not much more than that if it is. So we're talking like everything was gone. Everything was gone. And Rabbi Akiva picked himself up and he found himself five more Talmidim. I don't know where he found them, but he found five Talmidim and he started again. Of course, that's a story in and of itself. That's a Musar Shmuz in and of itself, renewal, never giving up. But that's what he did. And those five Talmidim didn't die. Those five Talmidim, so 24,000 died, but five didn't. So we are celebrating that. But still, what's the idea? Why did those five not die? And what's the shot with the first answer? First answer that it's because they all died. And what was the idea? They stopped dying. So I saw that the idea is Rabbi Akiva is the one who comes up with the klal. Right? He says, that's what Rabbi Akiva said. And we know that the Talmidim died because of some form of a lack of Vatel Recha Kamocha. Exactly what it means, exactly, it's hard to know. But lo nagu kavod zeh, they didn't give each other the proper respect. So the pshat is like this. Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 Talmidim, but he understood, he was able to figure out why that happened. And he was able to figure out that this is the issue, that this needs to be mitakined. Vatel Recha Kamocha, lo nagu kavod zeh. And since he figured that out, so two things. First of all, the next five Talmidim that he had didn't die. And that's one thing that we're celebrating. And the other pshat I saw that was Matari, it's the first one, the pre-Chadash's Kasha, is that really Rabbi Akiva himself should also have died. He was the Rebbe. 24,000 students died. They weren't known called Zebazet. That means that the Rebbe is at fault. The Rebbe did something wrong. So Rabbi Akiva is also supposed to die. But because Rabbi Akiva figured out what happened, he figured out Lo nagu kavod zeh, and he was, it said to himself, he's going to be mitakeh, he was chozer b'tshuva, so that's why he didn't die, and that's what we're celebrating. Celebrating the fact that we have Torah today, because Rabbi Akiva, so what do we mean when we say the students stopped dying? It's not the students stopped dying, it's that Rabbi Akiva didn't die, that's the idea. The students stopped dying because they were just all dead. But Rabbi Akiva himself should have died also, that was what we're celebrating, that he did not die. Okay, that's just in terms of shot, what we're celebrating. But the idea is, obviously, the concept of Derech Eretz is what we're focused, a lot of focus on Sfiras Omer. So again, what's the pshat? Why does that have to do with Kabbalah Torah? So it's very famous from the Arizal, Derech Eretz, Kabbalah Torah. Derech Eretz is Kabbalah Torah. Without Derech Eretz is before Torah. But the Arizal explains, what's the idea? He explains that it's because Midos are the Levush to be Kabbalah Torah. You can't be Kabbalah Torah without having the Midos. First, you have to, like Rabin always talks about this idea. I mean, lately he's been talking about the fact that it's Torah Yisrael before Eretz Yisrael. But he also always talks about how it's, you have to be first a mensch before you can accept Torah. Before you have the Torah, you have to be a mensch. The Alei Shor goes farther. Alei Shor goes farther than Rabina, hard to believe. The Alei Shor says, if you don't have Midos, if you don't have Derech Eretz, it's not Torah Bechlav. He says, that's John the Arizal. The Arizal is telling us that when you... That you need Derech Eretz is Kamala Torah. That means that if you don't have Derech Eretz, you didn't get yet to Torah. You don't have Torah. It's pushing not Torah. You're learning, but that's not Torah. That's not called Torah. It's Bar Hashem, it's I don't know what, but it's not Torah. That's not what we mean when we say Torah. And why is that? What's the pshat with that? The Pshat is exactly what we said before. What is Torah? What is Torah? Torah is a connection to Avinu Shebashamayim. Torah is a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not shayach for a person to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu without midos. Being connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu means I'm similar. I'm emulating him. If I'm treating my fellow like garbage, I'm not like Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not acting like Hashem in any way. So I can't get to Torah. The Arizal says that Omer in Gematria is Yakar. Yakar is another word for kavod. And it says, the Balaam Or in his introduction to the Shas, Mizrahi Levi, so he says, he brings down that, he's really just quoting Pesukim, and he gives a shot, but it's, he says that the Nefesh is called kavod. All over Torah. Your life, our life force is called kavod. I'll just give you some examples. He quotes the pasuk, "Lachen samach libi ve'agel kvodi." David Melch says, "Therefore, my heart is happy, and my kavod rejoices." My kavod rejoices. What does that mean? My kavod rejoices. It means my life. I'm rejoicing with my nefesh. It says in another pasuk, "Leman yizamecha kavod uleidoim." Leman yizamecha kavod. In order that my honor, my kavod should sing to you. What do you mean my honor should sing to you? I mean, my soul will sing to you. My nefesh will sing to you. He brings up many psukim in the Torah, where you see that the word kavod is synonymous with our life. Every person needs kavod. Every person needs that feeling of self-worth. A feeling that he is yachid u'miyuchad. That he is special. He is unique. And that the world can't exist without him. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs that feeling. It says in the Sfarim that if a person doesn't have that feeling at all, he loses it somehow by other people or his own problems. But he loses that feeling of self-worth. I think we all know this. But it says it in the Sfarim. If a person loses that feeling that he is unique, he loses it so completely that he has no feeling whatsoever of kavod. Only one of two things are available. Either he's just going to drop dead, or he'll go crazy. He goes crazy, he gets his kavod that way. Goes crazy, now he thinks that he's emperor of the world, and thinks that he's the president of the United States. Or he just passes away, suddenly. Kavod is the most basic human requirement. Without kavod, a person can't live. And again, what's the idea of kavod? The idea of kavod is that I am important. The world can't exist without me. Or at least something, some part of something can't exist. I am unique. Essentially, that is the most basic function of Tzelem Elokim. That's who we are. We are created in God's image. God is exactly that. Yachid u'miyuchad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely, obviously, indispensable. If Hashem didn't exist, kiviyachol, then the world would cease to exist. That's the idea. Every single person has an neshama. Every single person is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. And if you take that away from him, if somebody loses that, then that's it. He's gone. He can't continue. This is why it's so heinous to embarrass somebody. We are all familiar with the Gemara, I'm sure. The Gemara says, Noach Adam ba'pil atzmo l'kivshan esh v'la'al bin panafel. It's better that a person should throw himself into a furnace than to embarrass his friend in public. We learn it from Tamar. There's a famous story in Ksuvis about the Amora who did it, jumped into a furnace in order not to embarrass somebody. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes that Tamar Meshav Yisrael the Shvichas Damar. It's mamish, you're mamish killing somebody. Not all the way, but it's enough. He says it. It's mamish yarav al yavor. It's yarav al yavor. And it's the reason why. So what's the reason why? So it's, again, shvichas damim. What is shvichas damim? What's shvichas damim? It's another word for tzicha. What's tzicha?
Murder.
What's shvichas damim? Spilling blood. Right. So typically, murder is done by spilling blood. Right? You spill somebody's blood and you kill them. That's typical, right? What is called? How does Chazal describe when you embarrass somebody in public? What's it called? Halbanas panim, right? Malbin panay chavera. A person has a ruddy complexion. He has color in his skin. You embarrass them. What happens? All the color drains out of their face. They become pale. Right? Where is a person's kavod? A person's kavod is mostly expressed in his face. How did we just explain before? What does it mean, kavod? Kavod means that I'm unique. I'm special. Rav Amos talks about this all the time. Where do you see how every single person is different? Every single person is an individual. You see it in the face. No two people look exactly alike, even identical twins. You can tell. If you are familiar enough with them, you can see the difference. Every single person is different. And where do you see it? In the face. When you're draining the color from their face, you're draining their kavod. You're killing them because, again, kavod means the nefesh. Our kavod is our nefesh, like the Balamor said. That is what I. That's the idea. It just woke up a few kids, so it's good. Yeah. Our kavod is mamish, our life. So when you embarrass somebody, you're draining the blood from their face. That's what the seed of their kavod is. That's killing them. You're killing them. So mamish abizrael da'arais, the shvichas dam. And again, if our whole goal here is Kabbalah Satorah, we're trying to mekabel the Torah. So then we have to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we're not emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we doing? We're trying to get close to Avinu Shem HaShemayim. So I'll just end with a quick story. It's a mashal, it's not a real story. There was a guy, I don't know if I said this story once, but I think it's worth chazering. There's a guy who, they lived in a village, whatever, a father and two sons. And they barely made do. And the older son decided he's going to try his fortune in the city. He's going to leave the village, go to the city, he has a couple of business ideas. He's going to make some money. And that's what he does. He leaves home, goes to the city. And the family loses touch. He gets very, very intense in his business. He's a big businessman now, very chashuv, everything like that. They hear that he's doing great, but they kind of lose touch with him. And after a while, it comes time for the younger son now. The younger son also needs to set on his own. And he decides, look, why should I start from scratch? I have a brother in the city, a big guy, big time. He's already in business. Maybe I could just go and hook up with him. And so he goes to the town. He goes to the city. And he finds his brother's office. He goes into the office. It's a big fancy place, mahogany desks, all fancy furniture. And there's a secretary. And he says to the secretary, my name is Ploni Almoni, and I'm your boss's brother. I'm your boss's brother. I want to talk to my brother. And the secretary says, okay, one second, sir. And she goes in. She comes out after a minute, and she says, you can wait here. Wait here in the waiting room. He was a little bit shocked. This is his brother. He expected to be taken in immediately. He hadn't seen his brother in a couple of years. But he says, okay, maybe he's in the middle of this big meeting. Who knows? Whatever. Fine. So he sits in the waiting room all day long. He's sitting there in the waiting room till 5 o'clock or whenever the time when the day was over. And there his brother walks out from his office surrounded by people. They're all, copying down what he's saying as they're walking out. And he's leaving. His brother's leaving. He's been sitting there all day waiting to get in to see his brother. And he's leaving. So he jumps up, he runs over, and he says, bro, yo, it's me. And he looks at him, and he says, you're not my brother. And he walks out. Devastating. He's devastated. He doesn't know what to do. But he says, okay, obviously that avenue is close to me. So he goes, all right, so he starts on his own. Fine. And he forgets the brother and goes on his own. Fine. Years pass. And the father, back at home in the shtetl, gets very sick. The older brother already, by this time, barely is in touch at all. But somehow he hears about his father being sick. Big businessman. He hears his father's being sick. He goes back home. He wants to visit his father on his deathbed before he dies. He goes back home, and he walks into the room where his father is lying in bed, and he sees his younger brother. He's next to his father, sitting next to the father, talking to him. And he goes and he sits down on the other side of his father. And his father doesn't acknowledge him. He's still talking to the younger son. They're talking. After a while, the older brother, the big businessman, he's like put out. He's like, Father, I'm also your son. You can't talk to me? I'm also your son. I'm here. And the father looks at him and he says, do you know who this is? Pointing to the younger son. Do you know who that is? That's my son. If you're not his brother, then you can't be my son. And that's mamash the lesson that we have to take in. If we don't look at our fellow Jew as our brother, then we can't be his son. Because every Jew is his son. If we don't treat our brothers like brothers, then where's our father? So we have to mechazek ourselves, try to mechazek ourselves with the passion of Torah, the Eisha Torah. This last Zman, a little bit time before Shavuos, the Eisha Torah. And also, simultaneously, mechazek ourselves in our Ben Adam Lechavero. These are the friends that you're going to make for life. These friends that are in yeshiva, these are your friends that are going to stick with you forever. I still have my friends from yeshiva. Those are my biggest friends. My closest friends are the ones that I made in yeshiva. Don't embarrass your friend at lunch in order to get a laugh. It's not Shabbat. Work on this, and B'zrat Hashem will be zochet to really be in the Kabbalah Torah and live life the way it should be lived.